Well, good morning and welcome back to ANA Real Talk Columbus.
Yes.
Thank you all for joining us for another week.
Yes.
This is Drea.
This is T.
Just T tonight, this morning.
Whatever time.
Whatever
you may
it
be
is,
listening
right?
to this podcast. It could be 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, thank you for staying up. For all the listeners out there who stay up wee hours in the morning to listen to our podcast, we appreciate it. We love you, and I thank you.
Yes. So usually I would start off and ask Tony how his week was, but I'm not going to do that because I want to go first.
Yeah, ladies first this week.
Yes. Well.
Because it's your birthday week, too. So happy birthday to my baby.
Happy birthday.
I'm not going to say how old she is. And I do have some quick advice, though, before you tell me about your week. To the men, never ask a woman how old she is. Never do that.
You know, that doesn't bother me.
Men, don't do it. Just say happy birthday and keep it moving. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
So, yes, this week has been another stressful week.
Okay, that's for you.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, we're talking about me right now. Let me have my mom.
She's looking at me like, that's both. No,
this week is for me.
Go ahead. Okay.
This year has been stressful for me off and on.
Yeah.
Period.
Right, yeah, it's been challenging.
Y'all been listening, so you know the different stress from family stress, you know, work stress, school stress. It's just like boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
It's been very overwhelming. And this week has also been, the last couple of weeks have been very stressful for me.
Yeah.
So this year, for my birthday, yesterday was my birthday. I am focusing on self-care this weekend. That is my goal. And yesterday I had a spa treatment day. I got a facial, a massage, and a pedicure, and I felt amazing. It was very relaxing. I have never done that before, and I didn't know how I would feel getting a massage with, because I'm very sensitive in my back.
Mm-hmm.
Even like, you know how the chair massages, like some of the stuff, it just be too hard,
be too intense,
for me.
Right? And it'd be on
and
level
it feel
one,
good.
And it'd still be too intense, yeah. For certain people, yeah.
Right. So I was like, am I gonna like it? But it was perfect. It was amazing. The spa itself was great. I really enjoyed myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that I did that. And then part two of my self-care, I'm just going to have uninterrupted me time for 24 hours, where I can do absolutely nothing, whatever I want to do. I'm not going to the grocery store. I'm not cooking a meal. They'll eat. They'll be fine here. If they don't eat, that's okay. 24 hours of fast never hurt anybody.
Okay.
So, self-care.
Y'all heard it.
I need the self-care. I feel great. I was just telling Tony, I said, you need to do a self-care because you need to learn how to sit your butt down sometimes and just relax.
Wow. Okay. Can I say something on your self-care?
Sure.
Okay. I think everybody needs that. Absolutely. And I agree with it. Now, I'm kind of, you know, self-care falls within the realms of budget friendly to me at the same time.
Yeah,
I'm a budget friendly guy first before I do anything else. But anyway, so
don't even get me started on a budget friendly.
You know, hold on. It's my turn. Remember? Okay. Mm. So self-care. Now, the massage place you went to get the facial, the massage and everything else you got done. Is it worth it? Now, if you ask Drea, she'll say yes, it's worth it. But if I ask you guys and told you how much it costs, I don't know if you guys would say the same thing.
It wasn't, like, first of all, it was very, for those of you guys who know how much it costs for an hour massage and a facial, the price was worth it.
Okay.
It was not this extreme amount.
Well, it depends on who you ask. Now, if you ask a budget-friendly person, then they're going to say, I don't know if that was worth it. Now, I'm not going to say the price. I'm going to let you guys figure out what the price is, and you do your own research. But you tell me what you think the price, if it was worth it. So that's all I'm going to say about that.
Yep. We're not going to talk about appliances, or not appliances, but electronics. No, I don't be
so,
feeling
you know,
worth
and
it.
And the thing with me, I'm going to say this real quick, and we'll move on. The thing with me, and I like self-care. We're having fun with it, but I think what I struggle with is if I don't have anything tangible, right? If I spend money on something, I need to be able to like take it home with me. I need to be able to put it on the shelf. I need to be able to look at it and say, okay, yeah, I did that for a special occasion. I paid some money for it. But when you go and get something done and it costs a lot of money and it's, you know, once you leave that establishment or whatever, or you leave that event and that money's gone, it's dissipated. That's it. Only thing you have is memories. You can't go back and relive a massage. You know, you can't go back and relive that feeling. I'm just using that for an example.
I mean, that's true.
That's all I'm saying. That's true. But see, that's my own struggle. That's something that I have to get over and just say, look, sometimes you have to treat yourself. Sometimes you can't think like that. If you need a relaxation day and a massage is part of it, so be it. It's no different than a woman getting a nice hairstyle, right? Mm-hmm. Hairstyles, a lot of them cost a lot of money, but a lot of them don't even last 30 days. And you didn't gave these people all this money. So each person have their own thing. That's something that I have to work
on. That's
true. So and let quit me getting out of, you know, being this thing about.
Let me ask you this. Did you notice a difference in my attitude when I came home?
You know, you always pretty much have a nice attitude anyway. I mean, maybe you laughed a little bit more. And that kind of money, I don't think that was worth a couple extra chuckles there. So, but I mean, you have a pretty good attitude. I mean, you're no different. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, then a person, you have a pretty good attitude. So a person that has generally a good attitude, you can't really notice a big difference, really.
I guess and that's good to know, because let me tell you, I've been on a struggle bus. There have been plenty of times over the last couple of weeks, like when I get stressed or overwhelmed, where I just be wanting to snap. So I clearly do a good job of masking that.
I would say so, yeah.
Because it'd be sometimes I'd be like, what? You what?
Yeah.
Because you know my nerves are kind of like they're frayed, and I'm like I'm on the edge, so you know it tends to make me a little bit more aggressive.
Right.
Okay. So I felt internally I didn't feel like I could just snap at any moment. I felt like, it's probably not going to last for
right. Very long. And that's going to be the test to see how long that feeling lasts. Because right now you're good. I mean, we're about 24 hours in, so
I still feel good. I still feel great.
Yeah,
but I don't feel like even if somebody pisses me off when I have to go to Walmart in a little bit.
Oh Lord,
I might be able just to be like, you know what, it's okay.
Now, on to my week. Now, I'm going to touch a couple things real quick. And everybody know what's going on in the news. The Chauvin trial. Obviously, he was found guilty on all counts. As we know that. I don't think we should have had a trial, or it should have took 3 weeks to find this man guilty. The world knew that he was guilty from start to finish. And that's just what that is.
People are different breeds. It's a whole bunch of people who say he's justified. So I'm glad that it turned out positive, because
they still feel like he's justified. You know, and that's my point. You're going to always have those people that says that will never see it your way. Mm-hmm. And you're always going to have those people that just feel like no matter what you tell them, the truth can be in their face. It can be right there. Somebody could be spitting it in their eyes and they still not going to get it. That's just because in their mind, they're not going to get it.
Yeah.
In their mind, they justify every single thing, even if it's wrong and it doesn't logically make sense. And I think that's what America is going through right now.
Yeah.
And that leads me to my point is that, you know, as minorities, if you're not a minority, you're not going to get a lot of things that's going on in the world.
Right. For sure.
That's fine. But the problem is if you're not going to get it, you're not even trying to get it, then don't say nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, don't cause ruckus, don't cause mess, don't voice your opinion or just going to piss people off. If you don't have anything good to say, don't say nothing at all.
I agree.
This trial right here is going to change a lot of things. Is it going to make things perfect? Are we still going to, is it going to stop, you know, police brutality and profiling? No, it's not. Unfortunately, it's not. And even murders, because some things didn't happen even after this trial, and they continually happen. But the problem is this, and this is the issue that I have that I pray will get resolved one day. The only thing I say is, because I know the world we live in, and I know we're always going to have systemic racism, we're always going to have police brutality, police killing people for no reason at all, always want to draw a weapon first, before a taser, before reasoning, before conversation, is always a weapon first when it comes to minority. And it's a sad fact. And the problem is that you do have those police officers that don't do that, but then you have those who do it. And the problem is we don't know who's going to do and who's not.
Right.
And it's just sad because we don't know what's going to happen. We're encountered with the police. But the thing with me is, as long as accountability is set, I'm okay with that. You know, we're not going to stop it completely. It may settle down a little bit, but you got to think about the world we live in. I'm talking to minority people here right now. Yeah. You got to think about the world we live in. It may settle down, but the more they are held accountable for their actions, the better off we are. Accountability, that's all I say. Because when in a police force, when police officers are hired, there's no way to tell if they're racist or not. There's no way to tell that. You just can't do it. You know, so, but knowing that whoever you hire, if you act out and you're thinking you're above the law and you're thinking you're not going to be held accountable for your action, yes, you will. Mm-hmm. And that's all I'm asking for. I just want accountability and justice. I don't care about everything else.
Yep.
Yes, I do think and know we constantly need to fight for change. No problem. You know, things that we can change. Let's talk about that real briefly before we get in the show. And this is all just my personal opinion. You can agree with it or you don't. I don't even care. My personal opinion on things that we can change as minorities. One, what I just spoke on. Bad policing. Accountability for police officers. The case that just happened, that's a stepping point. We got a lot more to go, though, okay? Systemic racism at the workplace. That's stuff that we can change. Owners of companies can change that. You know, we can change that, okay? Systemic racism in the government.
Accountability.
Right, in the government. You know, we have systemic racism in the government. These things that we can change as people, whether it be voting, whether it be, you know, getting involved in our employers' HR programs, diversity, inclusion, whatever the program. Hey, if your company doesn't have a program, why don't you insist that they get one? Mm-hmm. You know, so that stuff as minorities that we can change. We can't change the fact that some police officers are just racist people and they don't care. We can't change that, but we can hold them accountable if they act up.
I think one of the things that as minorities that we struggle with is that I think we have gotten better over the course of the last couple of years, but I think that we bear it so often because we know it happens that we don't speak up. And I think this is the era to where silent no more.
Right.
We are going to speak up.
It don't need to be a part of the norm, because when it becomes a part of the norm and accepting acceptance, the then it's like, okay, another black person got killed for no reason at all. That's part of the norm. No, it never needs to become part of the norm.
Right. And I think we have gotten better in the midst of everything that has been going on, and we're speaking up more and more. But that's how we hold people accountable. When we speak up, we demand for change. We demand to see justice. That's how we get stuff done. And that's how we hold these people accountable, whether it's in governmental officials, your workplace. You know, I'm not going to let a racist type of comment slide in the workplace anymore. No, that's unacceptable.
Right.
Especially everything. That is unacceptable.
And you're going to have.
It's not going to be okay.
Right. And, you know, before we get in the show, because, you know, we'll get on all day about this topic. Yeah. But the thing is, you're going to always have those people. And what I'm about to say apply to all colors and races, okay? You're always going to have those people that say, is it really like that? Nah, that ain't systemic racism. Nah, they're not being prejudiced. Nah, he didn't do that because he was black. You're always going to have that. Expect it. It's unfortunate, but it's the world we live in. But don't let that deter you from speaking up, doing the right thing, and trying to fight for change.
Yeah.
You're going to have that because you got black people to say that. You got white people to say that. You got Latino people to say that. Why? Because I don't know. Maybe they've never experienced what the average minority experience when it comes to police or systemic racism or whatever. You know, you just have those people that have never experienced it and ain't trying to get that. Ain't trying to help you. Ain't trying to fight for change. They're content in their way of living.
They justify it.
Right. Yeah. They justify their views. And that's it. So we constantly balance. So people, keep that in mind. Those people, tell them to stay out your way.
Yep,
if they can't help you, get out the way.
Yeah.
That's my message.
Move.
Get out. Oh, Ludacris. Shout out to Ludacris. All right, so let's get into the show, you know, because that could have been a show all by itself.
Yeah,
but, you know,
once
so much going on in the world. So much going on in the world. You know, we can't touch every single thing, but we definitely want to hit the high points and give you guys our opinions on advice on what to do going forward.
Yeah.
All right, so what is the word today?
Being content. And fulfillment. And, you know, when you have those things to where you may be unfulfilled and you're searching for something to make you happy, to make you content. And we were talking about that, and we were both sharing, you know, our personal experiences with that. And we're like, well, you know, this would be a great show topic. Because I'm sure we all struggle with that in some way, form, or fashion at some point in our lives.
Yeah.
I've definitely struggled with that. One of the things when it comes to being content and fulfilled, I've always struggled with acceptance in some way. And even now, it still pops up every now and then. I will have to say, since I've been in counseling on a consistent basis, maybe, have I been in counseling for about a year now? Maybe not quite a year.
No, not quite a year.
But since I've been in counseling, I've really been able to identify that. And I've been able to be more proactive in my viewpoints. But looking back and thinking back on my life, I can definitely see where I was searching for a level of acceptance. And at that time, of course, you don't necessarily always see it as trying to find acceptance. I've always viewed myself as being outspoken, as you like to say, a little bit mouthy.
Yeah.
You know, strong-willed, things of that nature. But at the same time, I've allowed for some things to happen, and I accepted it because I was looking for somebody to accept me.
Exactly.
I've endured, you know, forms of abuse in relationships.
This is before me, of course. Make sure you put that out there.
Yes, before. Let's be clear.
Yeah, let's be very clear because that ain't happening here.
This is more so like in my high school.
Like Tony whooping that tail right now? No, I don't do that. But go ahead.
My high school days, forms of, you know, a slight form of physical abuse.
Yeah.
To where I had an ex-boyfriend who left a mark on me. And I accepted that. I just I don't know what it was, but it had to have been a form of acceptance. I'm going to be even really frank with you. I had an ex-boyfriend who raped me. Just being real frank.
Yeah.
But I still stayed with them. And that was a form of acceptance for whatever reason. And you go through that, and he's like, what in the world was I thinking? Even like forms of like emotional manipulation in my early 20s, it was a form of acceptance and always feeling like I needed to have like this perfect facade, if you will, knowing that, you know, you're not perfect. You know that, but you still want to do everything perfectly.
Yeah.
You want people to see you. You want people to say, oh, yeah, she's great. Yeah, she's this and she's that.
Right.
And it's a problem. And I can see that now clearly that I was looking for something. And I didn't, if I have a conversation with myself now and think about, you know, what in the world was I thinking about? Why was I striving so much for acceptance? And it's not even always like personal or romantic relationships. It can be with inside of friendships. It can be with inside of your workplace.
Your workplace.
I find that acceptance as well.
Sure.
That manifests and comes up with work.
Right.
But it's almost like I want people to like me, to want me, and I sacrifice myself in doing so. And I add all this extra pressure and stress and stuff on myself in the meantime, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But I've gotten to the point now where I can see that clearly. And I could stop that kind of in its tracks and be like, no, you are enough how you are. I'm not human. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not perfect. I'm human. So I'm going to make mistakes, but a mistake doesn't define who I am.
Right.
Because I don't get something right doesn't mean I'm not great. If I make a mistake at work, it doesn't mean that I'm not great at my job because I'm freaking amazing at my job.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you have to say that to yourself so you believe it. Everybody else may see the greatness in you, but you're still searching.
That it's in you. Right.
So it's about finding, knowing who you are as a person. And during those times, I could say that I didn't know who I was as a person. I didn't value myself.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't value my abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to get that recognition from others to help show my worth. And other people's definition of me should not define who I am or define how worthy I am. School, and this is something I still struggle with today, and this is something I constantly work through with my counselor. Like, I have this high level of excellence for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And not saying that there's anything wrong with that. I think we should hold ourselves to a high standard.
But we have to be reasonable at the same time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When you allow that high standard to stress you out,
right.
When you allow yourself to be unreasonable in expectations,
right.
That's when it becomes a problem.
Right.
Like, exactly. I shouldn't get upset because I get a B on an assignment. I'm thinking like, man, I want to graduate with a 4.0 and this and that. I mean, graduating with a 4.0 is great, but what extra benefit does that give me?
Right.
Even if I don't graduate with a 4.0 GPA, I graduated.
Right.
That's still a major accomplishment.
Exactly. Right.
And I need to be able to be okay with that and not diminish my accomplishment because it wasn't at the highest level that I wanted it to be.
Right, exactly.
Because at the end of the day, the job, I don't care if I got a 4.0 grade point average. That 4.0 ain't going to give me the extra 10 grand on my salary.
Exactly, right. They just
it doesn't matter.
They just want to see the piece of paper. That's it.
Right, so it's about accepting and being okay with your imperfections, being okay with being you.
Mm-hmm.
And people who accept it, and that it is what it is. Stop searching for acceptance in other people. You have to first accept yourself. And for me, that's what contentment is. Mm. Being okay with who I am, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, I think we all, I agree with you. I think we all struggle with a form of acceptance, a contentment level. Mine personally, when you were telling your story, I was thinking over my life real quick about the different experiences I've had where I felt like, okay, unworthy. I didn't feel accepted. And a lot of my struggles came through from dating, you know, chasing women. Mm-hmm. I was chasing something that is found in me. But I didn't know that at the time. And that's why it's so important when you really need to know who you are as a person before you start involving people in your life.
Yeah.
Even taking certain jobs and, you know, certain responsibilities. So I was out there chasing something that, again, like I said, was found in me, but I was trying to find in women. It was that level of acceptance, that level of contentment. Okay, I finally found a person who can complete me. No, that's the wrong answer. People don't complete you. Now, they enhance your life, they're helpmeets, they help you, but you complete yourself. And that's a struggle that I had to deal with for years as a man. And I think a lot of us as men, we won't admit to it, but we struggle with acceptance. We struggle with manhood. We struggle with what is a man? Where should you be at a certain age? Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of us have those struggles, and all of it leads back to being contentment and fulfillment and mm-hmm. acceptance. That's all that is. Regardless what realm you fall in manhood of that area that you're struggling with, those three things, that's what it applies to, right? One form or fashion. So with me, dating, chasing women, chasing money, chasing things that I'm not going to be content and fulfilled in, or when I would get those things, when I would get a certain amount of money or a particular woman, okay, yeah, it's good at the moment, but then it fizzles out. Mm-hmm. Then the chase begins again.
Yep.
So I had to say, okay, Tony, what is it? Now, here's the thing. This is how God worked with me, because I would have never gotten if I wouldn't have gotten ill. I got ill a few years ago. I had a thing called pericarditis. I don't know if anybody know what that is, but pericarditis is basically when you have fluid around your heart, and it feels like somebody has a water balloon on your chest all the time. And there is not officially a cure for it. You can treat it, but there's no cure. But see, God was my cure. I never forget the time when I got on my knees and cried and prayed and asked God to take this from me. And lo and behold, I do believe in miracles, and God took it from me. But here's the thing. Through that process, you know, I met you, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Through that process, I had time to sit down and analyze my life and figure out why did I go through those things in my earlier childhood? Why as a young adult? Why? You know, why is all this stuff happening? Now, you mentioned something earlier. It's kind of ironic because you said, well, I need to chill mm-hmm. because I need to sit down. And see, that's the thing. See, God had to sit me down, right? Because if I would have never took ill, yep. I wouldn't have caught all those things.
Yeah.
Because this thing happened until I got sick, right? Yeah. All this stuff going on, chasing money, chasing women, trying to fill this void of contentment and being accepted and all that. But when I took ill, boom, then I started analyzing myself. And sometimes things like that have to happen.
Mm.
Before That's you true. Recognize, okay, what's up? Before you recognize your character and say, how can I be a better person?
Yeah.
So because of everything was set in motion, I got sick. I checked on my life. Okay, let me see what's going on. Let me have time to reevaluate myself as a man and accomplishments and all that. Okay, I found out what the issue was. And then here's the thing. When you find out what the issue is, right, you have to go ahead and take the steps to become better. So my issue was, again, not being contentment, not being fulfilled, chasing things that don't matter. Once I found out what they were, how do you fix them?
Yeah.
It depends on the person, but I'll tell you my method, right? Obviously, my relationship with God is the first point, right? Reading the right material, studying the right material, self-improvement, counseling, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Meditation. Whatever it takes to make you a better person, you do it. And it's a constant work in progress, because if you can't just say, OK, I find out what the problem was. I'll work on it for 9 days and then it fixed. It doesn't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
Every day you work on self-improvement and dealing with those issues, becoming a better person, you get better. It gets easier.
Yeah.
But it never stops. It's almost like they say when a person is addicted to drugs, you have to first admit that you're an addict.
Yeah.
That means that's in your life. It's a permanent thing in your life. It's all about how you deal with it.
Mm hmm.
When you have those
urges going to go away.
Right. Those urges are going to come. How are you going to deal with it?
Yep.
You know, so it's the same thing mm-hmm. with self-improvement and character and character building issues you're dealing with as a person, accepting whatever they may be. It all falls in the same realm.
Mm.
Right. At the end of the day, it comes down to me first finding out why.
Mm.
Why am I like this? Why am I chasing women? Why am I chasing money? How come I can't fill this void? Why don't I feel accepted? You know, why don't I feel content? you have to find out what it is. And it took me to get sick for me to feel out what it is. Now, it may not take the next person to get sick, but it may be this podcast. This podcast may make you think and say, okay, you know what? It's some truth to that. Let me figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. Because there's something wrong with all of us.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so I think first I would say definitely acknowledge it and find out what it is and then do the work.
Yeah. It's not an easy journey.
Yeah.
It's not an easy journey. But it's a journey out of necessity, because otherwise you're constantly going to be chasing something and you're never fully going to be settled or happy.
Right. Exactly.
So you have to take that time to sit still and kind of figure out, you know, what is your ultimate goal? What exactly are you searching for?
Yeah.
And when you're looking for items, when you're looking for people to make you feel whole and satisfied, you're going to be disappointed.
And it could be children. You know, it could be children. It could be money. It could be the next promotion. But you have to be able to be content with yourself as a person, even without those things, because those things, you will never find it.
Yeah.
You know, you have that. You have a lot of people with their careers. There's nothing wrong with being ambitious, but you have to be realistic at the same time. Now, how much of a cost is it going to cost you?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, putting everything in there, because something always go lacking. I always say, you know, you're not nobody's Superman and Superwoman. You can't be great and good at every single thing.
Right.
You can't commit to every single task and event out there and try to be great at it. First off, one, ain't enough time in the day for you to do that. Two, what's the old saying? Jack of all trades, master of none.
Yep.
Something is going to go lacking. And usually it's either loved ones, a family member, a child. Whoever, the stuff that matters, what goes lacking. When you put way more stock and emphasis on something you're chasing that's not tangible, something that will not make you wholly fulfilled, it's only temporary. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to get that. We got to get the understanding, the fact of whatever you're chasing and you're wondering why you're not content, you're chasing something that's only going to make you feel good for a short period of time.
Yeah.
You got to find that contentment within yourself as a person.
I absolutely love that, and I agree with that. I found this good article, and a lot of what it said really resonated with me. It's from Zen Habits, and it was talking about contentment and how to find contentment within yourself. And, I mean, I'll share with you some of the things they said as to why you're not content.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems they listed as to why you don't feel content is you don't trust yourself. And when I read these articles, I compare what they're saying against my life, because I was like, is that true? Do I feel that way? And I would agree with that for myself. When I think about my level of acceptance and struggling with not feeling good enough in all areas and feeling the need to always strive to be better, to be that striving for that level of perfection that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
A lot of times I don't trust myself. People can see the greatness in me, and me, I'm picking it apart. Like, oh, well, I didn't do that right. Or, oh, I didn't, you know, they say I look like I lost weight, but dang, I can't tell.
I still
need to lose like 15 more pounds.
Right.
And it's that I don't trust myself. And it says your relationship with yourself is like a relationship with anyone else. If you have a friend who's constantly late and breaking his word, not showing up when he says he will, eventually you'll stop trusting that friend.
Mm.
And if you do that to yourself, again, you won't trust yourself. So working on trusting yourself, trusting your abilities, trusting that, you know, I am great. And to me, it kind of boils down to knowing your value.
Right.
Just because somebody says, well, oh, you did this or you did that, or you don't do that very good. What a person says should not be the ultimate deciding factor of how you feel about yourself.
Absolutely. Right.
And that's something that I take criticism sometimes to heart too much.
Yeah.
To where like it's fully invested, like what they're saying is what they're saying is true about me. Like if you say I didn't do something great, I need to work on doing that better. But which is nothing wrong with trying to improve. But at the same time, I'm taking it to as if I suck. Period.
Yeah,
and that's not the case.
And you know, that's a struggle for a lot of people. You know, that made me think about the workplace when I hear people saying, well, you know, they made me upset on Friday and then I couldn't sleep the whole weekend. That was on my mind the whole weekend till Monday morning. I said, well, goodness gracious, what did they say to you? You know, what did they do to you?
Yeah. It's like fully invested. Yeah.
So I think, you know, a lot of us that deal with that, we have to let stuff roll off our shoulders. Mm-hmm. We just have to, you know, people are going to be people. Everybody is not going to like you. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
I mean, you can be in a workplace and you work with 100 people, 97 people probably don't even like you. You may have three to like you.
Right.
I mean, that's just a fact of life. And I think the sooner we realize that people are going to be people, let that stuff brush off you.
Yeah.
It is what it is. If you can't change it, it is what it is.
Right.
You know, so that's when you said, I thought about it because I hear that a lot on my job. They say, oh, so-and-so did this or so-and-so did that. I struggled with that the whole weekend. I was like, you made that person ruin your whole weekend. You could have been, your mind should have been on your family, your kids, or whatever you got going on, your time off, relaxing at home. And you thinking about this person, what they said to you on Friday, and it ruined your whole, you couldn't even sleep. That ain't going to happen to me. I refuse to let that happen to me. I'm telling you that right now. I tell them that. I say, listen, dog, you know, I'm sorry, man, but you got to brush that stuff off.
Yeah.
You know, you have to do it because then you ain't about to ruin my dog on weekend. As hard as I work Monday through Friday, you think you about to ruin my weekend? Behind something you done said on Friday, it's not happening. I ain't thinking about you or this workplace until Monday morning.
Yeah. You know? I mean, that's true.
Yeah.
That's how you eliminate some of that stress of your life too.
Yeah. Right.
Like this, like when I mentioned that, you know, I've had a stressful week, a stressful 2 weeks, I fully acknowledge that the stress that is in my life is self-absorbed stress.
Yeah.
It's that extra pressure I put on myself that allows me to get overwhelmed and to get stressed out.
Right. Exactly.
So I completely under, I when I went to my counselor, I said, I understand this is the stuff that is, I allow the stuff to stress me out to where I just need to relax and let it be. I can only do what I can do. And what I can't do is just going to have to be all right.
It is what it is.
Right.
That's it. Okay. Right. I concur, because once you get to that point and you understand yourself as a person and you figure out why you tick and why you are who the way you are and the person you are, right, you actually will sleep better.
Yeah.
You'll feel better and you'll make better habits and you'll make better choices in your life. It's a fact.
Yeah.
And if you're listening, you're saying, well, ain't nothing wrong with me. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Because there's something wrong with everybody.
Everyone. Yeah.
When I hear people say, well, ain't nothing wrong with me. You accept me for me. Yeah, that's probably why you can't keep a good relationship. That's probably why you don't have any friends. That's probably why you're not successful. You can't get nothing done. You have problems, and these are areas of your life. You know, everybody has something wrong with them.
All of us.
I think so many people
multiple
think that they're perfect.
Us.
I'm the perfect husband. I'm the perfect spouse. She ought to be happy when I do this. He ought to be happy when I do that. No, you're not perfect. Everybody can strive to be better every single day. But you have to first recognize what's going on.
Right.
How can I be better? And you should want to be better, right? That's part of life's journey.
Yeah.
I mean, shouldn't you want to be a better person and figure out, okay, how can I make it to the next level? It's almost like your career with the job, right? I think you should want that. I mean, I would think you should want that. It ain't got to be job related. It could be just you as a person, just becoming a better person.
I think that strive to be a better person takes you a lot further in life.
It will.
We're trying to strive to be the next executive of your job, because that job can only take you so far.
And
it's going to drain more from your life than what it's going to give
and,
out.
And there's no evidence out there that just because a person make a certain amount of money, or they live in a certain neighborhood, or they achieve a certain amount of success, they're just as happy as the average person. There's no proof out there like that. You have people that are just as content and as happy just living normal lives, regular base salaries, don't, you know, live in the average neighborhood, go to average schools, whatever, average education. And, you know, one of these days we're going to do a show. Remember, we were talking about this, about the happiest people on the planet. They don't live in America.
No.
The most happiest
we
people.
We talked about that on the previous show.
Right. I think we did the happiest people, the most content people, and they live longer, right? They're happier. They make less money than we do over here. They have a better medical system, they have a better school system, so they have a better everything, and they're not the richest country at all,
because they're content.
They outrank us on every single level. One of these days we'll do a show just specifically on that country, but we talked a little bit about it, I think, before.
But
that made me
happy.
Think about that.
Yeah,
how to be happy. So it's a proven fact right there.
Yeah,
it comes from within. All right, so what's the word of the day?
Word of the day.
Mix it.
No,
that was lame.
That was not lame.
She said, ew, 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 ew. What the heck was that? I don't like no turntable.
That was my mix. So the word of the day is finance punk. Finance punk.
Pump or punk?
Punk.
Punk like Punky Brewster?
Yes.
Okay, I want to give a shout out to Punky Brewster. Punk. That was a good show back in the day, wasn't it?
Oh, Lord. So,
is she still alive?
I don't know. Google her later.
Anyway, all right. Shout out to Punky Brewster.
Jeez. Finance punk. So this is a culture and aesthetic state of mind that prioritizes making money. Ooh, how funny that that comes out like that. I swear I just...
This wasn't planned. You just pulled this. You just pulled this up. Okay, go ahead.
Even as an underground or radical creator, the work isn't made for money, but it's the money that matters the most. So dude, his stuff is pretty out there, but he's still pretty finance punk. So focusing on that money among everything else. Again, such a not contentment. Just saying, y'all. Just saying.
So the thing with that, it made me think about something. The love of money.
For the love of money.
It's not the money. It's the love of money. It's a difference. Because we all need money to survive. But when you have the love, when you're in love with money, what are you willing to sacrifice to get it?
And that's
the difference.
Woof. Y'all let that sit and marinate. The love of money. Do you have the love of money? Maybe we should do a show on that. All right, y'all.
All right. Until next time.
If you have a question or situation you would like advice on, you can contact us at aarealtalkcolumbus@gmail.com or you can check us out on our website at www.aarealtalkcolumbus.com. Also, be sure to look for us on Instagram or Facebook using the handle aarealtalkcolumbus. Don't forget to share with your friends. Thank you for listening to A&A Real Talk Columbus, where our goal is to bring people closer together through conversation.